The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hey, this is Danielle.
This is Tyler.
This is Naisha.
I-L-L-I-N-I. So we all went to the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Naisha is sitting here with a U of I sweatshirt on. And I'm sitting here with my Illinois whiteboard that Tyler requested that we bring out so that we can start the podcast idea creation. And we realized that college means so many different things to each of us, and it represents something different. So for me, Danielle, college was terrible, awful, no good, very bad. College was the worst. College was the beginning of, college was where the phoenix was birthed and created. So it had to happen exactly as it happened, but it was terrible. Tyler? How was college for you?
I fucking loved college. College was everything. I had a heavy course load. I had a heavy life load. But college taught me that I could do all of that. And it also taught me that, like, I was prepared to do all of that because I saw other people coming in with different educational backgrounds or life backgrounds, and like different experiences hit them and they didn't know how to handle it. And I was like, I've been doing this shit forever. This is nothing. I loved college. I should have never left.
Naisha, what was college for you?
I did not make the most, I don't think, of my college experience. And I believe a lot of that had to do with me not knowing how to express or kind of name what I was going through. And so it became very difficult for me, because now as an adult, I'm seeing like people I went to college with, and they might not remember me, but they remember my husband. And it's like, I was there too, guys. But a lot of it is because I didn't make the most of it. There were things I just wasn't aware of.
Yeah.
And then just dealing with personal shit.
Did you meet your husband at college?
I met him and Tyler at freshman orientation.
Oh, how fun!
Yes,
so
yes.
You met her husband at freshman orientation too? Y'all was all friends?
We were, but...
Because y'all were.
Yeah. We thought he was somebody daddy, but we definitely was somebody different. Yeah. Karen, he was real grown looking. He was real grown. We was like, who daddy that is? Oh, that ain't nobody daddy. We met at freshman orientation for that incoming class of 2001.
And it was dope because we still had the minority orientation there.
Right, and they called them the Smurfs. So, yeah. Like, we had the all school, like, where we were mixed in with the non-coloreds. And then we
with
had
the chief
some,
supporters.
Right, yeah. with the Chief Illini WEC supporters, mm-hmm. like, diehard. And then we had a couple of days where it was the blacks and the browns there. And it was, like, a really good experience, you know, because they were like, yes, this is college, but this is what it means as a black.
Right,
in
right.
this space, and like, this is what you're gonna face. Like, it was really dope.
I don't recall. So I went,
we were the last class.
Oh man, I'm like, now wait a minute now, because I came in 2003.
Yeah,
fall of 2003 is when I started, and then fall of 2004, I became a freshman orientation leader. And I'm like, we didn't do any of that stuff.
That incoming class of 2001 was the last one with the minority student mm-hmm. leaders. They were Smurfs. Because I still remember Jerry Jukin Smurf. Like, and even on Facebook now, I believe his name is Gary Welch now, but I still refer to him as Jerry Juke and Smurf. Like, I refer to him as I met him at freshman orientation. Yeah. And which was minority orientation.
Yeah. Because by the time we got to the full school one, all of us knew where everything was, and we're like, we're not going to that shit. Because at that point, like, we done been around campus, we done kicked it like we already go here. We done all got to know each other. By the time that flipped, everybody was just kicking it until we left. Because there was absolutely no point of us going to that one.
That's so sweet. Did y'all go to college with a lot of your high school friends? So I went to Morgan Park High School. Yes, I know. I'll let you guys sit. And I know my presence is a present. I know Morgan Park High School. And a lot of us went to U of I. So did y'all go to college with a lot of your high school friends?
I went to college with a lot of people I knew.
Through in like high the school. Neighborhood? Or
no, I knew them at in high school. Like I had a class with them, but okay. It was never like us being tight.
Okay.
So some of them did become friends in college and others are still like, hey, what's up? And that's the move whenever. So I ended up, for the most part, making a whole new group of friends, except for a couple of people I went to high school with.
Yeah, and I think me and only Brandon Vaughn from my class ended up going to Morgan Park from MPA, Morgan Park Academy.
Down the street.
The prepared school. Ooh. Where no one had to go to the bridge program before incoming freshman year.
Shots. But how dare you? I thought we were just celebrating the minority orientation.
I would argue
the bridge program could be an extension of the minority orientation.
I did. But no, I believe it was just me and Brandon that came down here, and we actually weren't even close to high school. Actually, we were voted, like, he was voted most likely to run for every political office, and I was voted most likely to run against him. So, we weren't friends, but we were definitely acquaintances. It was a good thing, but no. That group of friends, like, that core group, like, we're still in touch with each other. We're still friends. Like, that separate orientation was really dope and integral in building the base for real lifelong friendships, because that's for me and Naisha.
Yeah.
That's where we met. And this Naisha, is what it was.
How did you and I meet?
We
participated in an org.
Yeah, we did the sexual health peers together.
Woo-woo.
Should have learned about that before I did, because I would have been in that bitch since
and
freshman
that's how
year.
I felt, because Nashara never told me.
Oh, I know Nashara.
Yeah, Nashara was in it too.
Never told me. Shout out to Nashara, Say Kincaid.
I miss
Abel.
You, Nashara. I miss you.
We love you,
you so
my
mom. I haven't seen her since college, but I feel like I haven't seen you since college. Now, you should, like, Facebook or social media will make you feel like you've seen people in person.
Yeah.
But I'm like, when you walked in, I'm like, oh my God, like, I haven't seen you so long.
I don't think we have seen each other since college.
Mm-mm. Yeah. All right, so college. I learned a lot about myself in college, and I learned a lot about people, and I also learned a lot about race. So, with race specifically, with the chief, good old Chief Ilana Wick, what was y'all's first experience with the chief?
So, I didn't know anything about Chief Ilana Wick until I actually got there, and I didn't realize what it represented. And but freshman year, I got my introduction to the only black professor in the foreign language department, Professor Adlai Murdoch. And I remember I came to class one day wearing a standard Illini sweatshirt with Illinois across the top and Illini Weck in the middle. And which, if you don't know, Chief Ilana Wick is a very, like, the most stereotypical form of, like, anything that you think about a Native person is what Chief Illini Weck is. Feathers and the whoo and hopping around and
he would perform all of that. A religious ceremony during halftime at sports events, and everyone would stand and sing the Illini Weck song to him, and then he would do a dance and exit. But when you find out, like Tyler said, it's a caricature because it's all costume. It is a white student who receives a scholarship to play this character, and people have real emotional ties to it, and they will not let it go. But they just celebrate it as a mascot. So if you ain't woke, you'll just be like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna wear this shirt because I go to school here, and I'm repping my shirt.
Right.
And then you walk in.
And so I walk in, and we sit through class, but Professor Murdoch holds me after class, and he is like, yo. I mean, he ain't say yo, but the gist of it was like, yo, this ain't that. You ain't doing that. These white folks done took every racist stereotype and caricature of Native Americans and just put them into this conglomeration and made it Chief Illini Weck. The Illini people didn't even wear those headdresses or do those dances. Like,
they were farmers, not fighters.
Yeah, they did none of that. Yeah. Like, it was just like, what he told said to me, it would be like taking a leprechaun, the shape of a leprechaun from Ireland, and the exaggerations of the teeth of an Englishman, or the note in the nose of a Frenchman, or all of these, you know, or the bruteness of a Scandinavian or a Nordic person, like taking all of these European things, the caricatures of them, and putting them into one thing without even knowing anything, and just saying this is Europe, as if one thing applies to all of that. And then after that, I took a big ass black Sharpie,
hold Sharpie up in the air right now,
and crossed Chief Illini Weck off on my shirt, and continued to piss off white folks at the U of I until the day I graduated, because they was pissed.
I too. Ooh, they was shirt. Pissed. I feel like most black students ended up with Illini Weck merch because we didn't know the history. And once somebody cared enough to be like, let me help you understand what is happening, many of us took these markers and crossed it out. My roomie, Tabby, whom I love so much, got a shirt made with Abraham Lincoln's face on it and said, let's give it up for Mighty Whitey. And she wore that to class. And she was a chemistry major. Unafraid.
I wish I would have known.
Unafraid. What about you, Naisha? What was your experience with Chief? Because you know I'm going to get to him retiring. Were y'all there?
I think it was
06.
Oh, okay. So 05, then we was. I feel like it was in 05.
But I just remember. I remember towards the end of our time there, or at least mine, because I had that whole extra year. But I remember like people protesting about this tradition.
So Google says Chief Illini Weck was retired February 21st, 2007.
Okay. Well, there was a lot of conversation about it before,
because it was definitely going on. Yeah,
it was tacos and tequila. Okay.
Before I graduated in 05.
I really just do not have a specific moment. I remember the conversations. I remember hearing people discussing and saying it's a tradition, they can't take this away from us, and it just be like, y'all sound stupid as hell, because it's a lot of traditions that shouldn't even be traditions. That
slavery,
see, like we can sit here, that's a whole other conversation of just talking about those things that should not be traditions that people hold on to that are just complete bullshit.
Blackface.
People were heartbroken. So what happened was, there was a party. Were you guys, y'all remember where so U of I has, I believe, like the largest Greek letter organization system in the country at U of I. And there were racially themed parties that the white or non-black fraternities and sororities would have. Like, they would have ghetto parties. Y'all don't remember that?
I don't I don't remember none of that.
Okay, so
I mean,
they
I never partied with them. Right, I mean, right. We used to party partying with the Latino betas. Was that what they used to get it in? They had the house over, like, where the floor shook. It was over by the old Alpha house.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
So, my freshman year, my friend Amber's roommate was going to one. And that's when I learned about it. Like, they would braid their hair back or dress like rappers, get fake gold teeth. That type of stuff. So they did that, and it was kind of like, And then there was a tacos and tequila party by a Jewish fraternity and white sorority where they dressed up as Mexicans, and they had to crawl under a gate to get into the party. So somebody, oh. Yeah, so that is what kicked off all of, like, the Chief Gotta Go shit. So
that must have never been heard, after. Yeah, that was, yeah, that was after we were gone.
Yeah.
So then that must have been why it was.
Yeah. I learned a lot about race at U of I. The Chief was one thing, and to be like, okay, so now in the information age, we recognize, like, this is based on a lie. This is harmful and hurtful for the people who are affected by this perpetuation. It's inaccurate, and it's a waste of school resources, but that didn't matter because people still were very, very emotionally invested in it. And when they retired, like, people were crying, like, heartbroken when they retired.
White people.
Yes, thank you.
There you go.
Because people, I didn't cry. You cry?
Not at all.
You cry?
I didn't cry.
White people cried.
But why, though? Like, why do you think the Chief, even after you learn about the fact that it's based on a lie, that it's harmful, why are people still so connected to it?
White people are still so connected to it because it's the basis of everything that they built themselves upon as they started conquering and colonizing the world, and they don't see anything wrong with it. They tamed the savage beast. You know, this was just a war cry for them, and we've made it something beautiful to motivate the minds. You know what I'm saying? They had to create Chief Illini Wex and the Redskins and all of these other, because Chief Illini Wex certainly isn't the only caricature of a native represented in sports. The Braves, it's always some, you know what I'm saying, man that's supposed to be an Indian with a feather in his head or something like that, you know, without paying any respect or homage to the actual people there. And they justify it because that's just what white supremacy does, and they never have to see anything wrong with it because we saved them, we brought them into something, and now we've made it into this beautiful thing. So how dare you tell us that we can't tell you about your own shit?
Because if it if it weren't for us, you wouldn't even see this.
Exactly.
You should be thankful to see an image of yourself. We are giving you that.
We're giving you the platform. The world would care nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they have to find a way to justify it, and it's all bullshit. But they have to hold on to it. They have to uphold the lie. They have to uphold it. Or else they have to accept their bullshit. And who want to do that?
So, while learning about and being faced with the Chief and white supremacy and what that actually looks like in this bubble of a university, because it's different, you know, like when you, quote, on your own at 18 in college and when you facing systems of oppression and you see, like, oh, wow, they're really having a ghetto party. Oh, wow, we really have a Native American mascot in the information age, all this stuff. Learning about black people and the diversity of black people, I learned about that at U of I too. Did y'all go to school, had you gone to school with a lot of black people before you got to college?
Yes. I mean, I went to school with all black people before I got to college. So from kindergarten through third grade, I went to mixed school.
In the city?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
John Thorpe up north. And then, but from third grade through seventh grade, it was all black at McDade Classical.
Whoop, whoop.
Did you go to McDade too?
I did not, but my child is now there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And then I went to Kenwood for 7th and 8th, which was mostly black. But there was a few white kids that went there. And then high school was mixed at MPA. So, but even amongst that, like, I saw the black kids that were from the hood or whatever to the middle class black kids to the upper middle class black kids to the upper for real black kids to the white kids that were in all of those sections and everything as well. So I felt like I had been exposed to different variances of black people before I got to U of I.
How about you, Naisha? Had you, like, been around or gone to school with black people before you got to college?
I definitely went to school with a mixture, but predominantly, especially in elementary school, because I went to elementary school in the South Suburbs, but I spent a great deal of time in the city with my grandparents. So I got, like, a combination of experiences, because at times, I didn't fit in elementary school because I seemed too black with some of the kids, and I kind of ended up being like the token for some of them. But then at the same time, I had black friends in my class that I'm still tight with to this day, that we had some experiences together. And then by the time I got to high school, I think that's when it really like hit me, like, you are black. Because I went to a Catholic high school in the South Suburbs, Marian Catholic, and while there was a large population of us, it was obvious that we were different. Mm-hmm. And there was, just like Tyler said, we had a mixture of black folks there. And so I would have conversations with the kids you would possibly consider the hood kids, and I got called the stereotypical Oreo, and I'm like, wait, I'm an Oreo, but I could probably have a conversation with you about hip-hop, and I might know more than you. Mm-hmm. But then I would leave there, and I'd be what I felt like was my element when I come home, because by the time I got to high school, I actually moved to Chicago for good. And so my weekday experiences were high school. My weekend experiences were exploring Chicago, going to church with the family, and having a different type of black experience. And so with that mixture, I feel like going into college, by the time I got there, I kind of had a grasp on like who I wanted to be as a black person, but I didn't always feel open to express myself depending on that group I was around. Now, you with Tyler, you black. You black as fuck if you with Tyler. But and even in that, there was different levels of our group of friends. There were different levels of black, but you were able to be yourself. And yeah.
So I claim Southside all day, but my father was a Westside man. But anybody who really knows me knows that I am from Bolingbrook.
Okay.
I grew up in Bolingbrook and moved to Chicago when I was 12. So I went to private school from K to 5 in Merrill's Park, then moved to Chicago. And that school was mixed. Came to Chicago, and that's when they said I talk like a white girl. And I was like, what do you mean? Help me understand. I didn't say help me understand, but I was like, what the fuck are they talking about in my head? Because yeah. To me, what do you mean I talk like a white girl? Then I went to Morgan Park High School, the best high school, primarily black, but I was in academic decathlon, and I had some white friends. So, but it was still like 98% black experience. But my white friends did put me on. They identified as atheist or Wiccan, and I am a Christian. And when they were trying to tell me about biblical history and Jewish tradition, and I didn't understand, I was like, okay, so I will go learn about Lilith, and I will go learn about the duality of the creation myths. Like, because what you're not going to do is think you got to tell me about my faith. So I am thankful for that. But in college is when I was like, oh, bitch, you're black, and the world is not black. Because I wanted to go to an HBCU. I really did. But my friend who went to U of I before me, she was like 2 years older, she was like, the world is not black. You should learn how to survive in a mixed world, blah, blah, blah. It was true, you know. I wanted to be a sex therapist. So they was like, you can't go to an HBCU to be a sex therapist. Whatever. So I was like, fine, I'll go to U of I. Plus, a lot of my high school friends went there. But when I got there and realized that I was black and I needed to be strongly black to survive in a white world, I realized that most of the hatred that I experienced at U of I was from black people. Hmm. And that's why I was like, wait a minute. Like, this game is very different than I thought it was supposed to be. Like, I thought I was supposed to learn about, like, how to be black and navigate in a white world. It was more about how to be me and navigate in this world and not assume that a shared identity with anybody means that we are automatically going to be aligned, and at the same time, not to assume because we have a different identity that you are my adversary.
All skin folk ain't kinfolk.
All skin folk ain't kinfolk. That was a long ass message about how I felt my blackness at U of I.
I mean, but it was what it was, though. I mean, that's what college is about. I mean, and just that time in your life, like, that 18 to 22, 23, like, those are very formulative years. Like, I mean, you're coming out of pubescence. Like, puberty don't just stop automatically.
Yeah, your,
like,
brain keep going till 25.
Right. So, still, like, you're still going through physical changes. Your brain is still developing. You're still developing you're starting to develop an identity of who you are outside of your parents, outside of your siblings, outside of your friends that you may have known before, those relationships that you had before. Like, you really have to figure out who the fuck you are when it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you got a final in 4 hours, and you've been partying, and you've been fucking, like, and you got to pull some shit together and, like, realize what you can do. Or when you say you want to move out the dorms and you have an apartment, but, like, you didn't pay rent, but now I'm eating ramen noodles for 2 weeks, but that's okay, whatever. We about to season these noodles up. We about to put a soft-boiled egg in this bitch. We about to make some shit happen. Break the chicken head or whatever.
I do have some noodles.
Clutch. But, like, you learning you.
Yeah.
And it's a whole process. It's a whole process. And it's a great thing. Like, that's what I say. Like, I loved college. I loved it. Like, struggle is relative, and everybody's, you know what I'm saying, pain is their own. But, like, growing up, I can't even say I had it bad, but, like, stuff was rough. It got rough at times. Like, those that know me know, like, I raised my siblings. And being at college, like, even the decision to go to U of I was based on the obligations that I had to my family. Like, I wanted to be far enough away where I was away, but I needed to be close enough where if I had to get back home, I could be back home in 2 hours. And, you know, if I had to come home to help with a science fair project, which I did, or if I have to come home to be at parent-teacher conferences, which I did, like, I could do that. And then, I mean, I also went to school with my high school sweetheart. Like, I followed my high school sweetheart there, so that helped too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But college taught me that I could balance these things. And a lot of people, I get accused of being not empathetic a lot of times. And perhaps I'm not. But I've been through things and I've seen that you can still get through and do some stuff. So, like, I'm a teacher now. And when my kids try to just come up with the lamest surface level excuses, I'm like, no, you're not about to run that past me. Like, okay, this happened and that stopped you from being able to do what you needed to do, because why? Like, no, like, you have to learn how to process it and work through. And college taught me that I could do that. And so I loved it. Like, I say it all the time, I should have never left. Should have never left U of I. Should have stayed down there. Should have just finished my master's. Could have been a professor and just down there living my life and coming home to Chicago on the weekends. Because, I mean, it go the same both ways. Like, I wanted to go down there because it was close. It go the same way. But College was great.
So you loved it. You loved your experiences. You met your husband.
I did.
So college at least was good to you.
We didn't even date until well after college, though.
Like, so y'all stayed friends?
We were friends all throughout college. And then he came to Chicago.
Oh, was he from here?
He's from East St. Louis.
East St.
So he was from East St. Louis. And after graduation, he actually stayed down.
Okay.
On campus. Okay. Was working, had a little baby boy.
Oh, okay.
And so they were all down there. Little Tyler, shout out to Tyler. But so he was down there.
Okay.
And then he came up here for a job interview in 2008 for that summer. And he and I had been talking for like a couple of months before that. And so he called and was like, guess what? I'm coming. I got a job interview. I'm like, dope. And then, like, right after the interview came in, got me for a date, and I ain't got rid of him yet.
Oh,
yay.
That's awesome. So even though you didn't know, if you knew then what you know now, you was with your husband, freshman orientation.
Yes.
That is so adorable. It's so cool to think about. But you couldn't have known it then, because if you knew it, it would not have happened the way that it had to happen. Because it's like, that's when I'm like, God, if you was just going, why did I have to go through all the BS I went through if it was just going to be this person that was right here all along? But it's like, no, everything had to happen the way that it had to happen.
I appreciate him more.
Yeah.
Because of all of the steps it took before we actually got together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alana, love.
So, Alana taught you how strong you are. Alana, you met your husband.
Alana taught you love.
And Alana just made me who I am, too. Like, definitely had to recognize the power of the process and embrace the power of the process. Period. No matter how the process is.
It was a process, though, baby.
It sure was. Do y'all have anything else before we sign off of this one? The lessons that we learned in college?
As a high school teacher, I try not to... I realize that, number one, college ain't for everybody. At least a four-year. And so I don't want everybody to think it was that. But as it was everything for me. Like, I made lifelong friendships. I learned lifelong lessons. And I mean, and also I guess, you know, my high school, it for me, it solidified why having a strong educational foundation is so important. And like, it maybe that's part of the reason why I like college was not hard for me.
Academically. Yeah.
And not to say that U of I was a cake, you know what I'm saying? U of I is definitely not a cakewalk school, but like, no, I mean, I've always had a natural lust for learning. And then I went to schools that, like, pushed those things. So, like, things that I was doing, like, I was prepared to be writing 10-page papers freshman year of college. And moving on and being able to double major. Like, I graduated in 4 years with 2 degrees. And I worked 2 jobs. In college. But part of that was because I haven't lived in a double life before. Raising my siblings and still being in high school. So, for me, college is solidified. Like I said, and that's definitely not a road that I want people to think that they're supposed to take. But for me, it was a good experience because I had that foundation in the real world and in the books. And it was able to translate. So, that's why I tell my students, like, if you can do it in one level, like when they don't get why I'm trying to tell them to do some stuff, like everything has procedures and protocols. Like if you get the basics down, you could apply it in anything. It's not just for school. It's going to be for work. It's going to be for whatever. You're going to have to still like once, but once you get the basics down, it's nothing. And I had the basics down. So college was great. I want to go back. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
I heard they was bringing Toys R Us back.
I hope.
Why did they take it away in the first place if they was going to bring it back?
Heartbreakers.
Just like Carson's on Western. All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.